Okay, I guess we're sort of throwing out the first ball at this time of the year, and try this year, just some to go over some minyanim, not really practical in nature, maybe one or two that I'll talk about, but mostly to get into a little bit the sugyas of Pesach, to get into in halacha, to get into the sugyas of Hilchos Pesach. Pesach is a tremendous, tremendous world in halacha, and one can spend his entire life and wouldn't even scratch the surface, let alone just in a few minutes to talk about some of the inyanim. But these are inyanim that every year after Purim that I'm learning, and that I just try to share with the chaver some of the things that I'm learning in halacha, not to paskin, but to raise certain interesting issues in halacha, and hopefully it'll be a nice way to come to start to certainly to be mekayim the inyan of shalom v'darshim before Yontif. Let's begin by talking about the lav. we're already perhaps getting nervous about some of the fellows telling me that their wives didn't let them stay for the shiur. I don't know if that's true, but let's say. because they have to be home to help. We're now entering into the sugya of Bal Yiro and Bal Yimotze, that we have a lav, we have this lav, these lavim of chametz not being seen, not being found. It's a unique lavim. So there's a chakira that I was thinking about, the question that I was thinking about, and it's not my question, but I was looking into it a little bit and thinking about it. There are two ways of trying to understand this din, this chiddush that we have by Pesach of Bal Yirah and Bal Yimotze. Not just a matter of eating, but you can't have it. You can't see it. It can't be in your possession. There are two ways of understanding the chiddush. One, we could ask the following. Is the Torah assuring Bal Yirah and Bal Yimotze as a siag, as a protective measure to see to it that no one is nichshel in the issur of achilas chametz? That's one possibility. That because of the great chumrah of chametz, that it's an issur kares, that the Torah has created a protective, precautionary dynamic called Bal Yirah and Bal Yimotze, to see to it that nobody is nichshel, that nobody chalila eats it. If it's going to be around, you might eat it. That's one possible way. Or perhaps we could say that there's a separate, independent iser, an iser bifnei atzmai, that the Torah wanted all the chametz for whatever reason. The Kadmonim talk about it, that the Torah wants chametz to be totally gone, out of sight, out of mind, not to be anywhere nearby, that it shouldn't be in Arishus, not because of a chshash of achila, not as a siag that one might eat the chametz, but there's a separate, independent din that the Torah was mechadish here, that not only can't you eat chametz, but the chametz can't be anywhere around. Chametz has to be gone. Now, when we look at the Ran, at the beginning of Pesachim, the Ran brings Taisvus, and the Ran explains al pi Taisvus that Chazal were machmir when it comes to chometz, that all the chometz that we have, the bittel and the beer, and then later in later years the mechira, all of these chumras, the Ran explains al pi Taisvus that hoil v'loy bodol minei, which means we're used to eating chametz all year. There's nothing wrong. Chametz is perfectly fine. It's not nevelis, it's not treifus. It's perfectly fine. So since we are not separating ourselves from it, we're not keeping a distance from it, we're in the habit of just grabbing anything that we see, making a brach and eating. So the Ran says, De'efshe da'hod da'hatayra osra bal yirah and bal yimotze, that it could be that the reason that the Torah asks Bal Yirah and Bal Yimotze, that we have these Isurim, that we can't even have chametz in our possession, Hainu mishum de la bedile v'yesh bekares. He says two things. Hayni mishum de lo bedilei. One is that people are not careful. People are not separating themselves from it because it's something that you're always allowed to eat. So lo bedilei, that's aleph. And v'yesh by karis. And there's an iser karis. There's a punishment of karis. It's very strong. So from the Ran, it sounds like that Bal Yiroa and Bal Yimotze is a harchoke to prevent us, a cautionary measure that the Torah has built in to the din of chametz, to prevent us from eating chametz. The reason that the Torah is so machmir, that's what the Ran says, v'yesh by kares, that the Torah is so machmir that there's a hachaka, that not only you're not allowed to eat chametz, but lest you come to make a mistake because you're so used to eating these foods, because they're totally mutter the whole year, so that you shouldn't come to eat these things. The Torah goes out of its way and creates this chumra of Bal Yiroa and Bal Yimotze. V'lo bedilei minei kol hashana. The Ran repeats, V'lo bedilei minei kol hashana. The whole year, people are not careful to stay away from it, so we're afraid, Shema, the person might come to eat the chametz. So here we have what we usually call a siyag, a fence, a mishmeres, to prevent us from being oivan, that is the kares of eating chametz. This view is supported by a number of Rishonim. One of the Kadmonim, the Rashbats, adds that even though the Moshel we see, for instance, by a Nazir. Now a Nazir also, a Nazir who has taken upon himself Naziris, we have the same issue when it comes to wine. V'lo bodlamine, because you're allowed to drink wine all the time. It's not Nevela, it's not Shaifa, it's not Bazar B'chalav. So you're always drinking wine. So the Rashbaz asks, so how come we don't have such a thing by Bal Yiroa, by Yimotze, when it comes to a Nazir having in his possession any wine or wine products? So he says, because the Torah was machmir by chometz, that besides lo bodlumineit, besides the problem of being used to it, it's also chiv karis, which we don't have by Nazir. So because of these two, it's also chiv karis. So this combination that people are not going to be careful, they're used to eating it, and the chumr of kares, we see that the Ran and the Rashbats, and on that list we have the Radbaz, the Meiri, the Yireim, the Prima Godim, many Rishonim explain alpi this Tosfos and the Ran that the inyan of Bal Yiroa and Bal Yimotze is a gether, is a siyag, is a chumr. The Prima Godim makes an interesting he'ara. The Prima Godim asks, how is it possible that bittul works for chametz yadua, according to what we just learned from the Ran and Tosfos, that the lavim of Bal Yiroa and Bal Yimotze is a harchoke, that we should not come to be over on eating chametz. So the Prima Godim asks, so how can bittul work for chametz yadua? That means you know that you have chametz in the house, it's sitting in the cabinets. Forget about labels and signs. We're able now to be mevatel chametz that we know that we have. So we say kol chamir v'kol chamir, and we mevatel chametz, and it's chametz yadua. It's not just v'lo yadana, what I don't know, that it's hidden someplace that I can't see. There's chametz all over the place in the house, and yet bittul chametz works. So the Prima Godim asks, aren't we afraid that sof kol sof the person is going to come to eat the chametz? Aren't we afraid of that? So the Prima Godim answers, the kevan shebotloi shuv havi bodlumine. That koach of bittul chametz creates an irregularity. It creates a sense of distance. All of these dinim that we have, bittul not just once, bittul at night, and then bittul again in the day, together with the mechira and so on. All of these together create, the Prima Godim says, a feeling, a pachad, of bodlumine. So even though you could ask, if the chametz is in the house, aren't I afraid that I'm going to come to eat it? Why does bittul work? So the Prima Godim says, because through the bittul, it creates a sense of bodlumine, that I have a distance from this, that I say these things, and I have to understand what I'm saying, and it's bottle. The Chassam Sofer brings from his Rebbe a fascinating thing. The Chassam Sofer had two Rebbeim, Rebbe Nosson Adler, Zeichel Tzadav Kodesh Levracha, and the Hafla. And the Chassam Sofer brings from Nosson Adler to learn this in the Pshat in the Pasuk. To learn in the Pasuk this way. The Pasuk says, we just read it yesterday, Ach b'yoyim harishon tashbisu s'or mibateichem. Ach b'yoyim harishon tashbisu s'or mibateichem. That on the first day, you have to remove all of the chametz from your house. And then the Torah goes on to explain why is the Torah so machmir. In other words, this is the din of Bal Yiroah, right? Ach b'yom harishon doesn't just say don't eat the chametz, it says tashbisu s'or mibateichem. Get it out of your house. And then the Torah goes on to say why. Why is the Torah so machmir with chametz more than other Yisurim? So the Pasuk says, right, continues, Ki kol oichel chametz v'nichvesa ha-nefesh ahi. Aleph, because kol oichel chametz v'nichvesa ha-nefesh ahi, there's an issa kares, a punishment of kares. We don't have that by treif, by nevelos and treifas. Therefore, we don't have a din that nevelos and treifas can't be on the property. So the Torah says the first reason is what? Ki chol oichel chametz v'nichvesa ha-nefesh ahi, because you get kares if you eat chametz. And then the Torah says what? Miyom harishon ad yom hashvi. So the Chassam Sofer says from Nosson Adler that since Aleph, since chametz is bekares, and also lo badlu inishmine, which means people are going to be careless because they're used to having it around. Why? Because it's only miyom harishon ad yom hashvi. The Torah tells us since it's only 7 days of the entire year. It's only 7 days of the entire year. These two reasons together combined, Aleph. If you eat chametz, you get kares and beis. It's only miyom harishon ad yom hashvi. There's only 7 days of the whole year that you can't eat chametz. So these are the two reasons that we just learned. There's a chumrah of kares, and also since it's only a few days of the year that you're not allowed to eat it, and the rest of the year you're allowed to eat it, so we're afraid lo badlu inishmine, you might come to eat the chametz. So it's built into the pasuk, and Nosson Adler says this special chiddush of the Torah, that the Torah provides a geder and a siyag that we should not be over on the iser of bal yiroah and bal yamatzeh. Comes out from this, from what we're learning here. B'derech klal, when you hear the word siyag, a fence, or a mishmeres a siyag, what do we always associate that with? We always associate that with the derais or drabon, with the drabon. The siyagim that we're familiar with are always shema yale v'yitlosh, right? So you might go up and take something from the tree on Shabbos. All the gzeiras, all the hachokis and the siyagim that we're used to are midrabon. So what we have over here is a fascinating case where by chametz, in the Torah itself, we have a hachaka of Bal Yiroah and Bal Yamatzeh, where the Torah is machmir to create a siyag, shema you might come to eat. According to this understanding of the Ran, which is the majority view of the Rishonim, according to this understanding of the Ran, the whole thing is Bal Yiroah, Bal Yamatzeh is not a din be'etzem. It's only a hachaka, I shouldn't come to eat the chametz. That means that we find already in Chumash itself such a concept, don't do this because it might cause that. We don't normally have that in our way of understanding Torah. So we have an example of a gzeira midaraisa. It's a chiddush, a siyag or a gzeira that's built into the Torah itself. This way of thinking. Actually, Rabbi Yosef Engel in Lekach Toiv in Klal Ches brings from 17 places in Shas, Bavli in Yerushalmi. Rabbi Yosef Engel was like the Rogatchev, that kind of a head. Rabbi Yosef Engel brings 17 rayas for that there are siyogim and gedorim that are midaraisa, like shnius l'rayas. He brings other examples where we see in the Torah that there's such a concept that it's not only that the Torah asks something, but it creates a gate to keep you far away, that you should never ever do that iser. Now l'chayra. Well, I was thinking that we can come out from here with an interesting nafkim in it. I was thinking about this, that would be an interesting nafkim in it. In other words, whether we say this is a harchaka, or is it a din be'etzem, that the Torah says chametz is such a big thing, you can't have it anywhere. Or is it a harchaka? No, the real problem is eating. Bal Yiroah and Bal Yamatzeh was built into the Torah to prevent us from eating. So there's an interesting, that could be an interesting nafkim by the din of a chatzis shir. But you know, this is a very, very big tumult in Shas and Poskim. The din of Chatzi Shia was the Raisis, the Rabbanin, and so on. If it's not the Shia, there's Machlokes Achroinim. Is there a din of Chatzi Shia by Bal Yeroin, by Yemotzei? In other words, if it's not a Kezias, is there a din of Chatzi Shia the same way by Achila? Of course, there's a din of Chatzi Shia. And all Machlokes is the Raisis, the Rabbanin. But Chatzi Shia, according to the Halach in Shulchan Aruch, is also the Raisis. So by Bal Yeroin, by Yemotzei, there's a question that's found in the Poskim. It's brought up in the Magen Avraham in Siman Tov Mem Beis at the beginning of the Magen Avraham Sifkat and Aleph. The Chacham Tzvi writes in the Tshuva about this. The Shai Gesai has a whole Siman on this inyan. The question is, there Chatzi Shia by Bal Yeroin and Bal Yemotzei? So based upon what we're learning, I think we could say very simply that according to the Yisoid that we just learned, that Bal Yeroin and Bal Yemotzei is a Siyag. It's a Hachokah. It's a siyag and it's a hachaka, that you shouldn't come to eat. We could perhaps understand those poskim will hold that there's no isra of chatzi shir, that there's no din of chatzi shir when it comes to bal yiroi and bal yemotzei. Why? Why would that be? So we find that the Prima Gadim himself writes in his Psicha Aklolis, Akolelis Aklolis. The Prima Gadim has a very famous Psicha, an introduction to his Sefer on Shulchan Aruch, where he has very lumdish achilukim and klolim in halacha. And over there, the Prima Gadim, I think it's an ois tazayin yudzayin, there the Prima Gadim writes about a nazir. Now, a nazir is not, by a nazir, the din is that not only is he not allowed to drink wine, but the Torah also says that he's not allowed to have chaymetz yayin and mishras anavim, meaning he can't have the vinegar that's made from wine, or the mishras anavim, the what's it called? The sediments, yeah, that's the guk, that's the official word, from the grapes, that this is also usur. Why? So the way the Prima Gadim understands is, here we have another example of a siyag that's woven into the Torah, that the Torah asks chaymetz anavim and mishras, chaymetz and mishras anavim. Why? That the person, that the nozer should not come to be either on drinking wine. And there we see that it's also our chaka. And the Prima Gadim explains that since this din of the chaymetz yain and the mishras anavim is itself a siyag in the Torah, that the nozer shouldn't come to drink wine. So the Prima Gadim says over there that Chatzi Shir, he holds that Chatzi Shir is awesome in our Torah, that view of Chatzi Shir is awesome in the Torah. Why? Because if I have a Chatzi Shir of the Isra, I might come to eat the other Chatzi Shir. And if I eat the complete Shir, then I'm Chayiv. So the Prima Gadim says that as far as the Chaymetz Yayin and the Mishras and Avma are concerned, if we would say by the Nazir that it would be usur to have even a Chatzi Shia, that he'd be even an Isra on Chatzi Shia, it would be creating a Siyag, what? A double Siyag, a Siyag l'Siyag. Because the whole din that a Nazir is not allowed to have the grapes and the vinegar, the whole reason not allowed to have that is that he shouldn't come to be over on what? Drinking wine. The whole din of Chatzi Shia is that he shouldn't come to what? To have the complete Shia. So the Prima Gadim holds that would be a siyag l'siyag. A klal, we don't do that. We don't make two fences. So he says it's a chiddush. So that chiddush that the Prima Gadim says by Nazir, perhaps we could say the same thing by Bal Yiroi and by Yemotzei. What? That according to the Ran and Tosfos, that Bal Yiroi and by Yemotzei is itself a siyag that's in the Torah. It's a hachoke. In other words, Bal Yiroi and Bal Yemotzei is not a din in the etzim of the chametz that it can't be in your house. It's a siyag, you shouldn't come to eat the chametz. To say that there should be an isra of chatzi shir on that which is already a preventative, precautionary din of a siyag, perhaps it would follow with what the Prima Gadim says, the same svara by the Nazir, and it would be a siyag, it would be a siyag le siyag, or a geder le geder. However, it's interesting that Rabbi Yosef Engel, in a different place, Rabbi Yosef Engel, he taines against the Prima Gadim, And he says that the inyan of a chatzis shir is not just a harchoka that I might come to eat the entire shir, but it's a din in the etzem, that you can't have a chatzis shir of isra. So he has a whole different mahalach in it. But according to the way that we are learning, it could be that perhaps this would help to understand the view of those achron who say that there's no din of chatzis shir by bal yiror. Why not? Why wouldn't there be a din of chatzis shir like you have by all isuri achila? The teretz is because bal yiror and bal yiror is different from isurei achila. Bal yiror and bal yimotzei is a hachok, is a siyag that's in the Torah. The isur of chatzis shir is also a siyag that I shouldn't come to eat the entire shir. And the klal is that we don't make a siyag for a siyag. We don't make double fences. You make one fence. The Torah already made a fence that you shouldn't eat chametz. What's the fence? Bal yiror and bal yimotzei. Now I'm going to make another fence, a chatzis shir of bal yiror. So akedei kach, perhaps we don't go that far. That there are many achron that hold that there's no din of chatzis shir by bal yiror and by yimotz.
Yeah. Isn't it? There's no chatzis shir by chametz. It's only a mashir, right? There's also shirin by
achila.
Right. So wouldn't that apply bal yiror by yimotz? If we're afraid only to come to chametz. Chametz is usher and a mashir.
Yeah, we're not going to go into that. Whether that's the raisa and what that means with the mashu by achila, not by bayur and by yimotze. It's by achila, not by bayur and by yimotze.
Oh, I'm saying that's not connected.
No. That's a whole different talk, but it's not connected. Now, an interesting thing. I just saw this last night. It's brought down the Haggadah from the Shemi Shmuel that he brings from his father. You know who the father of the Shemi Shmuel was? Davinezer. It's a good yichas. So the Avinah, he brings from his father. Listen to this. Hinei shamati mikrei kedushas avi admar. Meshem kroy kedushas rabbi. He heard from his father in the name of the Avinezer's rabbi, the kedusha irim schuskelena. The kol har chokas ma'aveir is hein derabbanan. That generally the harchokas that we're used to, the special measures that were taken to keep us far away from aveiros, these are derabbanan. Al Shem Asum Mishmeris no Mishmarti. Like the Gemara says in Mari Katan, Hashem wants us to make a Mishmeris, a protective fence. The Mishmarti, to Hashem's Torah, we should make a fence. Chidushim said, however, Avla Hachokim Yisheker Hi Daraisa. Hachokim Yisheker is built into the Torah itself. Why? What does it say in the Torah? Midvash Sheker, Tirchak. He ends and says, "Issa chomes, the issa of chomes, v'hash bosas seor, bal yiron bal yimotzei, getting rid of the chomes, shinyono hu siluk v'hash bosas hasheker." Which the inyan of chomes, which the Radbaz says, the inyan of chomes is the etzar is sheker. So the Avinezer explains that we have a special din of bal yiror and bal yimotzei by chometz, because chometz is a bechina of sheker, of falsehood, of yetzahara, of sheker, and by sheker the Torah goes out of its way to say midvash sheker tirchak. You have to distance yourself from it; it has to be far away. So yesh legam ken hachokim midaraisa. Therefore, bal yiror and bal yimotzei, there's a hachokim midaraisa. It's a din of midvash sheker tirchak. Of course, he's not saying halach; he's saying in pnimius. that's what that means. Behind sheish shoshal erev yontiv, they have all of these chumers when it comes davke to Pesach, because chometz is sheker, and all the chumers against chometz, the mashu and bal yiron bal yimotzei and all the bittel and everything is because it says in the Torah midvar sheker tircha, stay away from sheker. Sheker, Shemi.
So I was thinking maybe along a similar lines of maybe saying, like Rabbi has said many times, that Masa really represents the Pashtus and the Bithil and the Amunah and everything, and Chametz is the Gaiva and the Tolzein Oshavali, and so just like by, so you could say that maybe the presence of Chametz is exactly the opposite of what Masa is supposed to be, and just like we say by Amalek, it's Machotim Chazekar Amalek, that we have to, that just, it's the total presence has to be obliterated. So too, maybe by chametz you'd have to say that it's not just achila, but just the
completely.
Totally
yeah, Tzaddik talks about it in many places. The Nina of Amalek, and that's the connection. One of the connections between Purim and Pesach, that the ka'osh and tichla of Amalek is the sreifas chametz, and in the Yehi Ratzon, I mean, he rots them by Sreifas Chametz. This is what we're talking about. It's 100%. It's clear that there's something unique about Chametz. And the Rabbaz, who was a Rishon, it was the end of the Rishon, the Rabbaz says that, I mentioned this the other day, that al pi pshutim shel devarim, Chametz is the Yetzer. Not that it's a nice, cute idea. Chametz is the Yetzer. Al pi pshutim shel devarim. Okay, that's the first inyan, just to think about. The second inyan that I want to talk about, I hope we'll have some practical outcome. Ha'ara, as far as an ancient minhag is concerned, that has become largely neglected in all circles. Maybe less I don't know about the Sfaradish or about some of the Chassidim, but certainly in other circles it's become less common. It's brought down in the Ma'aseh Rav which tells us the minhagim of the Gra of the Vilna Gaon. That the Gra was knowing an Erev Pesach after Chatzos, the Gra was knowing to say Psukim of the Korban Pesach. Now it's printed in every Haggadah. In every Haggadah it's printed Psukim from all over Tanakh. Psukim of the Korban Pesach. It's printed in the Haggadah. Some have a little bit more, some have less, some even have some Mishnayis, but it's printed Seder Korban Pesach in every Haggadah. L'maisa, the Mishnah Berurah brings this down as Siman Tov Ayin Aleph, the Sif Cotton Chav Beis. The Mishnah Berurah writes that after Mincha, Nochayin Shiyas Aseg B'dinei Korban Pesach. After Mincha, it is Nochayin. It's a Chayiv, but he says it's proper that after Mincha Erev Pesach, that one should be Isaac in the dinim of Korban Pesach. The Yachshav Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ki'ilu Hikrivai Bepoil. And that if you're Isaac in Korban Pesach at that time, which is the time of the Korban, when it used to be Korban Pesach, if you're Isaac in the Korban Pesach and saying these psukim and learning these things, so then Hakadosh Baruch Hu counts it Ki'ilu you are makir of the Korban Pesach. Ki'ilu you brought the Korban Pesach. Where's the Chavos Chaim come to say such a thing? Ki'ilu Yomaki of Korban Pesach. Of course, he didn't make that up. That's a familiar topic. The Gemara in Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis tells us about Korbanos Bechlav. This has also become neglected in recent years to say Korbanos in davening every day. The Gemara says in Megillah, Kol Zman Shekaren Behen Marlan Yaleim Ki'ilu Makriv Lefanei Korban. Kolzman, that you read the parashias of the Talmud, of the oil and so on. Kolzman, you read the Karbanis. Says, and the Gemara says, Marla and Yalein, Ki'ilu makrivin lefanei karban. I consider it Ki'ilu yamakriv a karban. U'moichel ani al kol avnoseyem. And I'm moichel all your avarus. Ki'ilu, you brought the Karbanis. That's the Gemara Megillah on Afon Beis. The Gemara Menoch is Daf Kuf. Reish Lakish learns it from somewhere else. Reish Lakish brings the pasuk. Reish Lakish says, "We're coming now in this parashah, Vayikra, Tairas Ha'Ola, right? Zois Tairas Ha'Ola, Tairas Ha'Asham, the Tairah of the Ola, the Tairah of the Asham." Reish Lakish says, "Shekala Isaac b'Tairas Asham ki'ilu hikriv Asham. Whoever is Isaac in the Tairah of Asham." Of the carbon, it's ki'ilu is makriv in Hashem, kala isaac b'taras oila, it's ki'ilu and so on. It's ki'ilu makriv that carbon. And right away at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Aleph of Shulchan Aruch, right away, the Mechaber brings toiv loimer parshas oila and so on. Again, it doesn't say chayiv, but the Mechaber brings toiv loimer right at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, toiv loimer parshas oila. It's good to say Parshas Oila. All Jews everywhere in the world used to say Karbanis in the morning and by Mincha. All Jews, Svadisha, Ashkenaz, everywhere, said the Seder of Karbanis for this reason. Now, it's interesting. We don't find that in Hilchas Pesach it's brought down. In Hilchas Pesach, the Inyan that the Gra is brought from the Gra. We don't find that it's brought in Hilchas Pesach to say Erev Pesach, the Seder of the Korban Pesach. That we don't find in Shulchan Aruch. Maybe by the end we finish in a few minutes, we'll understand why it's not in Hilchas Pesach. But what I was thinking about is the following hakir, the following question. we might, many of you are familiar with the concept of, when it says in Pasuk, Unishalma, what? Parmes Vaseinu. Okay, Unishalma Parmes Vaseinu means that we ask Hashem, let it be that the words that we say with our mouth, listen, we can't, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so we can't bring these things. So Unishalma, it says in Pasuk, Unishalma Parmes Vaseinu, that we can't bring the animals as a carbon, but our lips can still say the words. So, Unishalma Parmes Vaseinu, what does that mean exactly? So the Bir Halacha, the Chofetz Chaim, the Bir Halacha, in a number of places, in Siman Aleph, in Siman Memches, the Chofetz Chaim brings in the Bir Halacha, he's careful to say, Ha'oisik b'teres chatas, like we heard from Reish Lakish. Ha'oisik b'teres chatas. If you're oisik b'teres chatas, and the Chofetz Chaim says a fascinating thing. He says, you don't just read the words in the Siddur. It's, if you have time, it's preferable to take a minute or two, the Chofetz Chaim says, and to learn, he says, Gemara and Rambam, the halachas of karbanos. He's talking about every day. To learn halachas of karbanos. And he says, Shemisasek lahavin inyana, v'lo amiras hateivos bilvad. It's not enough just to say the words, just to read it from the Siddur. We should learn, he says, you should learn something from the Gemara or from the Rambam, and then you could, and then read the parashiyas, then read something what you have in the Siddur. However, in the Gemara and Megillah, the Nusach is not like that. The Gemara and Megillah says very simply, which I said before, Kol Zman Shekoyrin Bahen. The Gemara Megillah promises that Kol Zman Shekoyrin Bahen, if you just learn, if you read the Psukim of Karbanos, Hashem says it's ki'ilu you brought the carbon. Over here, the Chofetz Chaim says it's better to learn. It's better to learn and to read. So I think that what's clear is that it goes back to the two Gemaras. The Gemara in Menachos, the Gemara in Menachos that we said at the beginning, that was the Gemara that said where Reish Lakish says Zeus learns it out from Zeus Tairas Ha'ayla. Zeus Tairas Ha'asham. And Reish Lakish says Shakol Ha'oisik B'Tairas Asham. If you're Isaac in the Tairas Asham, learning the Tairas Asham, then it's Ki'ilu you brought the Karm. Masha Enikein, the Gemara Megillah does not say anything about learning, about Misasek. It doesn't learn it from the Pasuk, it doesn't say Tairas Ayla. The Gemara just says in the Megillah, Kol Zman Shekoyrin Behen. Shekoyrin Behen. As long as you are reading, as you just have to read the parashas. It doesn't talk about an asik in the parashas. Now listen to what would be a nafki minute. There are a number of nafki minutes between the two ways of learning. Is it a halacha in what? Is it a halacha in asik, being asik in toiras hakarbanas, which would require limud, learning? That's what the Chofetz Chaim says. Don't just say the psukim. Don't just say the psukim. You need to also learn something. Learn a little Gemara, learn a little Rambam, not just to say the psukim. Or is it a din what? In Kol Zman Shekoyrin, like the Gemara Megillah Lamed Aleph, Kol Zman Shekoyrin Behen. Kriya. The number of nafkim minutes. The nice Kalim and Shulchan Aruch and Simon Mem Ches. If you look there in Simon Mem Ches, I'm going to run the Taz, they're all talking about this. There's a machloikis there that when you say the parish of Karbanis, in davening, in Shachris, you read the Karbanis, in Milchi, you read the Karbanis, do you have to say the parashiyas of Karbanis ba'amida? Do you have to say them while standing? Or are you allowed to sit when you say, the Karbanis? What's the Shaila? The Shaila is that according to those who say that you have to stand when you read the Karbanis, it's dugmas beis hamikdash. It's like in the beis hamikdash. So when you brought a carbon, you're not allowed to sit down. Chalal, you're not allowed to sit down in the Azar. So it's Dugmas Beis HaMikdash, with the Karbanos for Nasa Ba'amida. They took place Ba'amida. Another interesting thing. The Shulchan Aruch over there in Siman Aleph says that the Karbanos are only to be said during the day. We don't say Karbanos at night. Only by Yom. And then that could begin even earlier. That depends upon, again, the Karbanos. Meaning by Elos HaShachar, that could begin while it's still dark out, but it's a din in the Yom. Why is it a din in the Yom? It's a din in the yom because the same way in Beis Hamikdash the karbanos were during the day, talach in the day, yeah, the trumas hadeshin and on talach in the day. So too the karbonis, when we lay in the karbonis, when we read it in Siddur, the karbonis have to be said during the day. And then even further than that, in the Derech, the Bnei Sosri in his Sefer Derech Pekudecha says an unbelievable thing. In the halachas, in the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, the Bnei Sosri says that you should not when you're saying the parasha of Karban Pesach, Erev Pesach, you should make sure that when you're saying it, you should not say it together with a mumer and apikaris. I don't know why a person would be standing next to a mumer and apikaris, but the Bnei Sosri says you shouldn't be with a mumer and apikaris. Why? Because a mumer and apikaris are mufka from the Karban Pesach. They're not menuyim, they're not allowed to be counted in the Karban Pesach. So Bnei Sosri says that ad kidei kach, do we say that the saying of the parashiyos are modeled or a din in the Karban, that you can't even say the parasha of Karban Pesach in the presence of a mumra and apikaris? because it's ke'ilu you're bringing the Karban Pesach. And you can't do that when there's no movement. When there's a movement, there's not bikur.
How would you know? Are you
going to
ask them?
No, that's a mumia doer. Not because you do it. Most apikurses are not embarrassed. That's part of the apikurses. You don't know. Stamaju, you're not chayshus got a bit. But if a person, let's say, if a person eats gebrochs, then you know right away that he's not apikurses. Varn, yeah? Yehudi shochel gebrochs, yehudim zekurses, yehudim shu apikurses. So, I'm not joking. There was a guy that told me. I mean, I am joking. Of course, I'm joking. Yeah. There's a guy that told me that he was working years ago. He was working. There's a Belzachaster that he was working. There was a fellow that was working with this Belzachaster together on the assembly line in a machine shmur matzah place, a machine shmur. And the thing was going along, and this chizishik guy was working next to this other guy, and one thought it fell onto the floor. So this guy, the Belzer guy, gets him, he puts it back onto the assembly line. So the guy jumps, the other guy that told this to me jumps, he pulls it off, he says, are you out of your mind? What are you putting, how could you put that back onto the thing? It was on the floor. He said, if a Jew could eat a machine shmurat, so he could eat chametz also. That's what he said. He's paskin, this guy. He's the guy that's working in the factory. Okay. So, it's an interesting chiddush from Bnei Salzcha, such a thing. Now, what's the machloikis? This is a fascinating machloikis. It's a fascinating machlokes. When we say these parashiyos, when we say the parashiyos in the Siddur, in the morning of Karbanos, we say the parasha of Karban Pesach, is this a substitute, when we say Neshama Parmes V'Aseinu, is this a substitute that we look at it as being mamish, a substitute for the Karban itself, and therefore we're chayiv to try as much as possible to say these parashiyos with the hanhogis and the dinim of ke'ilu we're bringing the Karban, which would mean standing up only during the day, Bnei Sosri, or do we say that no, the ikkah here is to be, the Gemara Menachos, to be oisek in the Karbanos. And that the Asik in the Karbanos, it's not saying that it's a tachlif, that it's an exchange. It's a substitute for the Karban itself. What it's saying is that there's a special, beautiful halach in Hilchos Tamei Torah that we find in other places in Hilchos Tamei Torah. That when you're learning a certain Indian in Torah, Hashem counts it ki'ilu, you're actually Isaac in that mitzvah, right? We find that in general in Hilchos Tamei Torah. So there are two ways, it seems, there are two ways of understanding this business of saying the parashiyos of Karbanos. Either it's mamish, like I'm bringing the Karban, in which case, if I'm mamish bringing the Karban, then I have to try to imitate the way of Karbanos, the way the Karbanos were brought, that's how I have to say the parashiyos. Or do we say, no, it's a general halach in Hilchos Tamei Torah, like if you're Isaac in Hilchos Negoim, it's ki'ilu, you're working with that mitzvah of being metaher a nega. And so it is with everything when it comes to Talmud Torah. So it could be that this is itself the difference between the Gemara and Megillah and the Gemara Menachos. The Gemara Megillah that says Kol Zman Shekarin Behen Malani, as long as you read these parashiyos, I consider Kilu Yemakriv Lefanai Karban. That view holds that the reading of the parashiyos of Karbanos, it's mamish ki'ilu, you're bringing the Karban. It's halach in the carbon. If it's halach in the carbon, then you have to do it ba'amida and ba'yayim and so on. It's halach in the carbon. The Gemara in Menachos, the Irish Lokis, is careful to say kala oisek b'tayras oila, because it says in pasuk zois tayras ha'oila, zois tayras ha'asham, meaning it's an independent, separate halach in Hilchas Tamat Torah. It's not halach in Hilchas Karbanis. It's halach in Hilchas Tamat Torah. And we can come from here. That comes out a very interesting nafkim la'halach that the modern day poskim are talking about. Let's say a person has the minig, which is a correct minig, to try to say the Seder Karban Pesach Erev Pesach, to read at least something from the Haggadah of the Seder Karban Pesach, which we should try to do. And let's say the person didn't have time, Erev Pesach is very busy, or he forgot, and now it's already night. It's after davening. He says, oi, I never said the Karban Pesach. It's already night. So now, the question is, are you allowed to say the Karban Pesach? You're allowed to say the Karban Pesach at night. Now, in Siman Aleph, in Shulchan Aruch, there it's not talking about Karban Pesach, it's talking about the parashiyas of the Oil of the Talmud, so what we say in davening, every day. So there, the Shulchan Aruch, as I said, is makpid, it has to be davke what? B'yoyim. It has to be yoyim uva amida. Now, it seems that over there, at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch is setting up the Seder of our lives every day, leading into davening. So there we understand that as part of the Seder of Tefillah, of davening, it's more understandable to say that Unashalma Parmas Vaseinu is part of the Seder of our davening, that it's mamish like the carbon. That is mamish like the carbon. Unashalma Parmas Vaseinu, it's in the Seder of Tefillah that was instituted as part of the Seder, there should be Dugmas HaKarbon. There the Shulchan Aruch is makpid that we only say Karbanis during the day, we don't say Karbanis at night. One of the great poskim of our generation, Rav Nissim Karelitz in Bnei Brak, Zolgozunzai. So Rav Nissim writes in his Sefer, he was asked if you're allowed to say the Parsha of Karban Pesach when you forget to say it during the day. Do you say it at night? And Rav Nissim answered very simply that he didn't say it Erev Pesach. He says, the Zman of Karban Pesach is already finished. Night is not the Zman of the Hakrava, of bringing the Karban Pesach. The Achila, but not the Hakrava. So he says, there's no we need at all to say the of Karban Pesach. There's no we need at all to say it after at night. It's only Erev Pesach. That's the Zman. So apparently Rav Nissim learns that the Indian of Karm, saying the Karban Pesach is the same. It's halach in what? In reading the parasha. That's the ik in reading the parasha. However, the Prima Godim says in Hilchas Tefillah, Seder Hayom, and also in Pesach, that it's not li'ikuva. But if you didn't say the Seder Karban Pesach, Erev Pesach, you could say it at night or any day you want on Pesach, you could say it. Why? So it seems that the Prima Godim is arguing with Rav Nissim, that the Machlokes of Rav Nissim Karelitz and the Prima Godim, but the Achronim are arguing on this Nakuda. Do we say that the Kriya is a din, like in the Gemara Megillah, that it's a matter of just laning the Parsha? If it's a matter of laning the Parsha, that it was set up like the Karban itself, in which case we understand. You can only lane the Parsha of Karban Pesach, Erev Pesach. After that, it's over Zmanai. The Zman is finished in bottle carbono. There's no carbon anymore. So there's no point in reading when this says the Karban Pesach at night. It's finished. It's done. The Prima Godim, on the other hand, says that this halach is not li'ikuva. You can say the Karban Pesach at night also. It must be what? That the Prima Godim holds that the ikur is like the Gemara Menachos. That it's not a halach in saying words, davening. It's a halach in being Isaac, like the Chabad Chaim says, don't just say the words. He combines both. But you should also learn some of the halachas of the Karban Pesach. To learn some of the halachas of the Karban Pesach, that could be that itself is the machlokes. Is it a din in Hilchas Karban Pesach? Or is it a din in Hilchas Tamat Torah? If it's a din in Hilchas Karban Pesach, it can only be Erev Pesach. If it's a din in Hilchas Tamat Torah, then do it anytime you like. You can do it at night. It's not a problem. The lemaisa of this is that it would be a nice thing for those who have never done that. It would be a nice thing to try to do that. Since the Goyin used to say it after Chatzais, the Mishnah Berurah says it should be after Mincha, which would mean that after Mincha we'd have to take a few minutes to say it. But since the Goyin said it after Chatzais, and many tzaddikim said it after Chatzais, it's a busy day, Erev Pesach. But it would certainly be a wonderful thing to take 5-10 minutes. It's a nagada to take 5-10 minutes to read something of the parasha of the Karban Pesach. L'maaseh, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch to say the parasha. Now, going back to the original question of why isn't it brought in Hilchas Pesach? In Hilchas Pesach, so that could be the reason it's not brought in Hilchas Pesach, is because The Chofetz Chaim Be'ikar, the Shulchan Aruch perhaps holds that when it comes to tefillah and every day the Karbon is, that's a din in the Shabbat Parmas of Hasenu. But it could be that by Karbon Pesach, the Shulchan Aruch agrees that it's really halach in Kol Ha'oisek B'Parashas, Karbon Pesach. Therefore, it could be that it's not brought down in specifically in Hilchos Karbon Pesach. It's not a halach. It's a halach in Talmud Torah that whatever you learn is considered as if you're doing that mitzvah. It's not brought down in Hilchos Karbon Pesach. Okay, but in Ha'orah that we should try. If you remember, look in the Haggadah and try to say a little bit of the parasha of Karbon Pesach. Now we'll talk about something. In a few more minutes, we'll talk about a very practical question that's discussed in the poskim. What is known in Eretz Yisrael, and the label that's found on the bottles is something called Yayin Kal, light wine. Yayin Kal. The question is, many people cannot drink regular wine with a regular alcoholic content. It gets them sick, and they can't make a seder. They also would rather not rely upon those who hold that you could drink grape juice. So they would like to have wine. So then, okay, some make a mixture of wine and grape juice. But there are those who would rather not deal with grape juice, for whatever reason. Not getting into that now. And certainly if you use grape juice, which I do, mostly I mix. But without the question of grape juice, this issue of wine, where they produce wines that have 3.5% alcohol. They have now, you can get 3.5%, very, very low alcoholic content, so that a person should be able to have the arbakaises to enjoy and not to chalila become sick. So is there any problem? I mean, we're not getting to the issue of mitzah anavim, of grape juice, that's a separate discussion halach. But talking about wine, just wine with 3.5% alcohol. So let's just talk about this mamash for a few minutes. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Amud Beis tells us, Yayin ad shalei nosin l'toichai mayim ein mevarchin alav bar pi agafen. Undiluted wine that's so strong you can't make a bar pi agafen. It's not really something that you could drink. I mean, there are people that can, but it's not something that one normally drinks. So undiluted wine, straight, you can't make a bar pi agafen. What does that mean? So Rashi says over there, in the days of the Gemara, the wine was very, very. Rashi knew about wine, right? That was his panasa. In the days of the Gemara, wine was very, very strong. You couldn't drink it without diluting it. You couldn't drink it without pouring water. Now, what's the shir meziga? How did they used to do it in the Gemara? How do they dilute the wine? It's the Gemara in Bava Basra on Sadik Vavam Abayz. The Gemara says over there that there were three chelkei mayim for each chelik of yain. Three parts water for one part wine. That's the equation. Three parts water, one part wine. That's what the Gemara says. That's how they used to drink wine in the time of Chazal. Three part water and one part wine. Now, I never understood any of these things. And how does that apply to nowadays? And I just saw the other day, they put out a Haggadah from one of our Gedolei Yisrael, from Rav Belsky, from Tarvadat. Now, Rav Belsky is not only a huge Talmud Chacham, he's also a bucky in science, a bucky mufla in science and in math and everything. Science, math, history, a bucky. So so Rav Belsky has a discussion of this inyan of wine in the days of Chazal and the wine that we have now. And he says that when Rashi says, what does it mean when Rashi says, Sheyenam hayachazak ma'oid? Their wine in the Gemara, that the wine was very, very strong. So Rav Belsky explains that to him it seems clear that when Rashi says that the wine was strong, it is not talking about alcoholic content. It's not talking about that, how strong it was in the alcohol. It wasn't talking about that. Why? I don't know if anybody knows this in Metzius, but Rav Belsky explains that Mitzad HaMetzius, he said, that it is impossible to create wine that has more than 13 to 14% alcohol. He said it's impossible to create wine like that, because once you get to that percentage of 13-14%, he says the shmorim that's being used, it kills the alcohol to such a degree that it's not possible for the sugar that's there to be absorbed in the alcohol, and that it should become alcohol that can be used in the wine. Again, I don't know with the science of it, but Rav Belsky says that if it's 13.5-14% alcohol, there's no such thing as wine. It doesn't exist. Anywhere in the world, it doesn't exist. You can't make a wine like that. So therefore he says, when Rashi says that Shehaya Yenem Chazak Ma'oid, that the wine was very strong, he says it does not mean alcohol. It doesn't mean it was Meshake Shikr. It means that it was very, very rich, strong taste of grapes, of wine, very deep color, and very strong, but has nothing to do with alcohol. And it means that Ad Kedekach, that even after you would dilute it, and even if it would have a low percentage of alcohol, despite that, when you would drink it, you would feel, Rav Belsky says, the tam arevus hayayin. You would feel the good taste, the sweetness of wine, because the wine was strong, not strong in alcohol, but the grapes, the richness of the wine was such that you would taste the arevus hayayin even after you would dilute it. And he says, for instance, now, when we were kids, there wasn't much of a choice of wines. You didn't have really. You had either it was a Concord or Tokai. You didn't have like now. Now there's so many different kosher wines. So Rav Belsky says that, for instance, Concord, or like they have an Eretz Yisrael, they have the Kunderton, you know, it's like syrup. It pours very slow. So he says, for example, you take this type of wine, a deep, rich Concord wine. He says, even if you dilute it with 50% water, you still will taste the arevus and the tam, the sweetness and the taste of wine. Even if you put 50% water in it. Mashani, you can have some very fancy light wine, a very expensive light wine, but it's the taste of the wine is not so rich and strong, and that even if you put in a little bit of water, you're going to lose the taste of the wine. So Rav Belsky then goes on to explain, going back to the percentages and that number, 3.5%, he says a fascinating thing. Obviously, this is a tremendous chiddush. He says that according to Chazal, again, Yayin Mozug, diluted wine according to Chazal, three parts water, one part wine. He says that comes out. If, let's say we take the highest concentration of alcohol that's possible in wine, which Rav Belsky says scientifically is 14%. That's the highest possible concentration you could have in wine of alcohol, 14%. He says if you take that and you do and you follow the formula of Chazal, three parts water, one part wine, it comes out to be 3.5%. It comes out to be 3.5%. So Rav Belsky says that it seems that the average typical wine that they used to, even if you want to say it was the highest alcoholic concentration, was Lavdavka. But let's say it was the highest possible concentration. He said at best it would be 3.5 after it was diluted, the way that they did in the time of Chazal, which was always, the Gemara says, a klal. Three parts water, one part wine. That's how they diluted wine in Chazal. So Mestama, they did use the highest concentration of alcohol. You could say that. It was the highest concentrate alcohol, and they would dilute it. Three parts water, one part wine, it came out 3.5. So no matter what sheet you hold from Rav Belsky says, 3.5% alcohol on Pesach is 100% fine. He says 100% fine. And then he brings the Rambam. The Rambam is beautiful. The Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Zayin Halacha Tes, he talks there about the yayin of the Arba Kaisis, and he says, he's talking about diluting the wine. He says, Yesh l'mazel, you should dilute it. Why? Kedei shetia shesia areva. So that the drinking should be pleasant. Shesia areva. Hakol l'fi hayayin u l'fi das ha'shoyseh. Hakol lefi hayayin, and the Ram doesn't say how do you dilute. He just says hakol lefi hayayin, whatever the wine is, it depends on the wine. And das hashoyis, and also the das of the person who's drinking it. Das hashoyis does not das. You can't say he's shote because then be das hashoyte. The shoyte doesn't have das. So that right, that's for Purim. Ad loyada. So hakol pi das hashoyis, according to the das of the person who's drinking the wine. Therefore, Rabelsky says according to Rambam it's poshut that the ikur is bechlal not tolui when it comes to abakaisis. Doesn't have anything to do with the percentages of alcohol. Has nothing to do with that at all. And therefore, according to Rambam, it's simple. It's clear that 3.5 is fine. Because the ikir, according to what he understands in Chazal, and the ikir according to the Rambam is that the yain of the Abakaisis is meant to be something which is sweet and tastes to the person like wine. That's the whole tam of drinking the wine, to be a ben chayrin, and so on, chayrus, to drink the wine in such a way. And therefore, he says, it's kfidas ashoy. So therefore, it doesn't make a difference how alcoholic it is, how strong the alcohol is. The ikur is it should have a tam oriv of yayin, which is the inyan of chayrus. It doesn't make a difference. The difference could be between the arba kaisis and perhaps kiddush, regular Shabbos kiddush. Because by Kiddush for Shabbos, there's no inyan of Arevus Lefidas Hashoyse. That's a halach in Chayrus of Leil Pesach. So perhaps that you could say by Kiddush it might be different Friday night, because Kiddush is a halach in Yayin Choshuv, the Chashivus of the Yayin, not Lefidas Hashoyse. So it's the Chashivus of the Yayin. So there maybe you could get into an interesting discussion. What about this business of Yayin Kal, how diluted by Shabbos? That's something else. But by the Arba Kaisis, it's clear that by the Arba Kaisis, it's a halacha not in the alcohol, but it's a halacha in the sweetness and the taste of the wine. I guess there's a question, Emmanuel.
Does that mean that you can't water down Yayin Kal?
That you shouldn't do that. No, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't put any more water. If you're using that, there was, I don't know if they still have it. They even made something like a grape juice. Kedem had a few years ago that was like Kal. So there was a tumult about it. I don't know. I don't see it anymore because there was a little bit of a tumult about it. It's already a kals, you know, to make grape juice, and then you're making a grape juice kal. You know, the next thing you're going to have seltzer. What are you going to have? So
I don't see them selling that anymore.
No, it was like 2-3 years they had it, it didn't go over with their silas with it. But you shouldn't pour any water into grape juice, any water into the yayin kal. You should leave that as it is. Again, according to what we learned, if you still taste it, it would be okay, but it's better not to do that because it's already crossing over into some territory where it might be so diluted that there's no taste. If it comes out when it comes out on Shabbos. If it comes out on Shabbos, Yontif maybe not. Unless you say Al Simchas Yontif, the Kiddush that B'Shai Gassai is a whole big discussion. It could be that by Kiddush, by the case of Kiddush, that you always have to have a din chshivas, because even without Shabbos, there's also because of Einig Yontif. Maybe there's a din in the chshivas of the Yayin. And if there's a din in the chshivas of the Yayin, then perhaps it has to be a stronger Yayin. Could be also. It's a question. It's a sad question, but it's a question that comes up a lot in our times. But it didn't only start in our times. But it's a question about having somebody that's not Jewish coming to the Seder. Somebody that's not Jewish coming to the Seder. Sometimes you have families of Balei Tshuva, and they have members of the family that married out, and they want to be Makarev. They want to Makarev their relatives or their brothers to bring them to the Seder, but the brother comes along with his wife that's not Jewish and so on. We have Maasim like this, that somebody wants to come from work, you're trying to be Makarev a person. There's a Yid that you know at work, and you want him to come, but he wants to bring the Goita with him, so you don't know what to do. So it's important to know that there's a din of Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Yontif in Siman Tav Kuf Yud Beis at the beginning, right at the beginning of Tav Kuf Yud Beis. It's a halach in Hilchos Yontif, not Pesach, stop, Hilchos Yontif, that you're not allowed to have a guy eat with you the Yontif meal. The problem in Hilchos Yontif is, it goes back to the Gemara and Beitza, the problem with Yontif is Shema Yarba Bishvilai. Now we're allowed to cook on Yontif because it's his Eichel Nefesh. But you're only allowed to cook for a Jew on Yontif. So we're afraid that if there's a guy that's going to come to the Yontif meal, Shema Yarba Bishvili, you're going to put another piece of chicken. You're not allowed to cook for a guy. said Eichel Nefesh is only halacha that's mutter for to cook for a yid, not for a goy. That's Gemara Beitza. So, aside from the question of Pesach, Stan, you don't think you're not allowed to have a goy. You're not allowed to have a goy over by the Suda. So that seemed to be a little poshut. So I saw this unbelievable thing in the Siddur of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. In the Siddur of the Yavetz, on the part of Holach Manya, so Rabbi Yaakov Emden, where it says, Kol Dichvin Yesiv Yechel, Kol Dichvin Yesiv Yechel, come to eat, you're inviting someone to eat. So there Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, it's talking about poor Goyim. He said, Holach Manya, you can look inside the Siddur. Kol Dichvin is talking about Goyim who are poor, that Mitnedake Sholom Akdimin Maniye Akum Maniye Noch Goyim Tani Yisrael, that because we want to promote good relations, he had a hard time where he lived. You want to promote good relations with the Goyim, so therefore if there's a poor Goy, he needs a place to eat. Not only that, he says, Kol Dichvin Yesiv Yechel, that you're inviting Goyim, poor Goyim, that they should come to have something to eat. Mefanis Naniye Akum Maniye Yisrael Mitnedake Sholom. And then Kol Ditzrich Yesevi Yivsoch, he says that's going on Jews. Kol Dichvin is going on inviting Goyim to the Seder, and Kol Ditzrich is talking about inviting Jews. So I understand how's that possible? Chutz from the just the horror I wanted to make. Chutz from the Indian of Pesach is Aloch and Nechus Yontiv, that you're not allowed to have a guy to invite to the meal, Shami Yavavishul. So I don't understand what Rabbi Yaakov is saying over there. Besides that, I don't remember where I saw this, but there are those who, I saw it, I don't remember, so recent from Nachman, but there's a special chum when it comes to the Seder Leil Pesach, because by the Karban Pesach is what? Called Ben Nechel Yoichel Bat. There's a special din by a Karban Pesach. You're not allowed to have someone that's allowed to have a guy eat by a Karban Pesach. And since, as the Netziv says in his Akdamah to the Haggadah, the whole Indian of our Seder is modeled after the Karban Pesach. It's a very, very, very odd thing to have. To have a guy over. I saw though in a sefer that one of the Gedolei Yisrael, that there were some non-Jewish diplomats who wanted to be by his Seder, and he allowed them to come to the Seder. And I saw that Rav Yoshev's Zechon Levrach, that his son-in-law came to ask him, how could it be? You heard that Adam Gadol had goyim by the Seder, and Rav Yoshev said that he also was nispal, how could it be? But he was down the kafshus, and he spoke to the Olam Gadol, and he found out that he invited him to come to see a little bit before the Seuda. He didn't allow them to stay for Shulchan Aruch. He didn't allow them to stay for Shulchan Aruch. He only invited to see a little bit what we do over here, you know, to say Kol Dichvin and to say Ma Nishtana, but Shulchan Aruch. And anyway, there's a famous story for Rabbi Nachman that I'm sure that you know, where there was a Jew and there was a guy that they were both very, very poor, and they were sitting on a bench someplace in a park and they had nowhere to go, and the Jew said to the guy, listen, by us it's a holiday tonight, it's Pesach, it's fantastic, you could eat this, as much as you could eat, it's great, it's a great holiday, so let's split up. You go to a Jew and I'll go to a Jew. The Jew said to the guy, you go to a Jewish family, I'll go to another Jew, and we'll meet later back on the park bench later on. So late at night, the Jew comes back. He had the most delicious meal of his life. He comes back, and he sits down next to the guy, and he asks the guy, how do you enjoy? He says, yeah, you Jews are so crazy. You're crazy people. He says, why? You didn't enjoy? He says, enjoy. He says, I'm sitting there for an hour, stand up, sit down, saying all kinds of things. I don't know what they're talking about, saying all kinds of different things. And then I figure, who knows, there's going to be a big meal, big meal coming up now, big thing. And they bring out these crackers, and everybody's like eating them crazy in a hurry. And no one's allowed. I asked, could you pass something to a salt? And they say, And I try to eat this, my mouth is stuck. My tongue is stuck. I can't even eat these things. They're all yelling at me to eat, and I can't even eat a piece of this. So then I figured, I don't know how they start, the Jews eat their meals like this. They start with crackers, like so many crackers. He said, I can't eat this. So then must be now is going to come the meal. Then they bring out They brought out the mar after that. So he says, now give me this, they give me this thing, they say eat, and they put a whole pile of this, and I put it in my mouth, and then my head started to explode, and I ran away, said, you know what, you're all crazy. So Rabbi Nachman said over this mice. He says that the yid said to him, Shaita, you idiot. He says, another 2 minutes was going to be Shulchan Aruch. And Rabbi Nachman says, he said to us, hold on, yid. And he says, another 2 minutes will be Shulchan Aruch. That's what he said. He said, there's been a lot of matzah, there's been a lot of mora and galus. But a little bit soon, atat, we're going to have the Shulchan Aruch. Oh, all right, it's getting late. We should be zarech, Mr. Shem, to eat with the Shulchan Aruch together with Dov Malkin, Mashiach, and have you made our main.